Hello, everybody.
OMG. Hi.
Oh, my effing gosh. Hi, everyone.
Did you miss us?
Did you miss me? The catfish is delicious. Oh, my gosh. It is us, and we're back. This is episode 68 of Catnaps and Cognac.
Yes, episode 68. Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable.
Completely.
So crazy. So how have you been?
I mean, I've just been chilling and maxing and relaxing all cool and all. Writing in my notebook after school. How have you been? You had an eventful few weeks.
I did. I went home for 2 weeks. I was in sunny South Florida. It was so great. If you saw any of my IG pics, I was posting. Now, you guys cannot say that I don't post to Instagram, because I do.
I have not said that in a long while.
Yes. So none of you guys can say that. But yes, it was great. Me and Cody went down. We had a great time. Got to see my family, friends. Got to enjoy some great sun, the beach. It was amazing. It was great. It felt so good to be home. And I was kind of sad to come back, but I am happy that I'm back, though.
All right.
Yeah. Totally. How about you? What's been going on with you?
You know, just chilling and working and such. Nothing too crazy.
Nothing too crazy?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's that. Been tweeting and shit.
Hey, that's the fun stuff. I don't know what's going on with you guys, but I hope you guys missed us because we were gone for a little bit.
Word.
Yeah, we took a little hiatus. I mean, we've been giving you pretty steady episodes for a year and a half. We deserved a little break.
A little bit of a break.
A little bit of a break, but we are so happy to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've got lots of stuff we want to talk about. And first thing I want to talk about is this delicious sangria that I'm drinking right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's so good. So, so good. Are you drinking anything right now?
I am drinking lovely lemon water. Yeah.
Delicious.
Delicious, refreshing, and bland.
Oh my gosh. All right, so let's get into the show. What do we have first? What do we have first? What are we talking about?
Okay, well, this is a little bit bizarre. But we all know about catfish. We all know what that means now. We should know what that means.
Yes.
But don't. That's when you pretend to be someone else online other than yourself.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Right.
So, in Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Tuscaloosa.
There was a young girl. Her name is Marissa Williams. She's 19, and apparently she was spending a whole lot of time on Facebook. And her aunt wasn't feeling it. They lived together. She thought that she was pretty much wasting her time. So she decided to catfish her niece.
Okay.
I guess the whole thing was Marissa kept meeting people online, and she would invite them over to the house. That's why she wasn't feeling it. So, her aunt decided to catfish her. She made a fake profile for a guy named Trey Top Dog Ellis, because you know how Facebook users love random ass middle name.
Top Dog.
Top Dog. And, she or he became friends with Marissa on Facebook. So, Well, they were talking, and this happened, like, I guess late May. She gave him her phone number and her address, and she was like, oh, come on to my house and let's get drunk, blah, 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 blah. And she offered to have sex with him if he would pay her $50 cell phone bill.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, but that's not all. Within days of them meeting online, Marissa asked him to kidnap her so she can get away from her family. The plot twist is she said if her aunt tried to stop her, then he should kill her aunt.
What?
So, yeah. What do you do from here?
What the F?
Well, her aunt called the police.
Well, shit, I would have did the same thing. This little heifer trying to plot to kill me.
Crazy, right?
Oh, like, my gosh.
What are the odds that you're catfishing your own niece and your niece reveals that she's gonna kill you?
Wow.
Pretty much.
That is crazy.
And she's being held at the jail on a $30,000 bond.
Well, apparently her auntie not going to get her out now that she knows that she wants to kill her.
She said that the plans got increasingly intricate and sinister as time passed. According to the court files, she told the fictional man how to get into her aunt's bedroom so he could kill her and the woman's fiancé first. Then she asked him to shoot her cousin and the family dog on the way out. Williams allegedly planned to pack her things in his car while Trey murdered her family.
That is nuts. That's crazy. So she want a top dog to kill her auntie, kill the fiance, kill the cousin, and the dog. She want everybody dead.
She want everybody dead.
That's like, nuts.
What is this? This is not Kill Bill. What is going on?
You crazy psychopathic heifer. What is wrong with you?
Why don't you move out?
If you hate it so much, jeez.
Like,
why didn't you go and move in with one of the men that you met off of Facebook? And she was about to sell her cooch for $50 for a cell phone bill? Girl.
Listen.
Mm-mm.
Booking ain't easy.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah, right?
No, ma'am. No, sir. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Yeah. That's bad business, honey. Anywho, moving on from that crazy story. Let's move on to another crazy story. So, this one is, I don't want to call this that because the thing is, well, when we get into it, we'll talk about it. All right. So, our Kelly's 14-year-old daughter, she's 14, right? His 14-year-old daughter took to social media to say that he is a transgender boy. What? Okay. I don't even know how to read this. I don't understand. Was it born a girl and now it wants to be a boy, or was it born a boy and wants to be a girl?
He was a girl.
He was a girl.
And wants to be a boy.
And wants to be a boy. Okay. Jay Kelly.
Or is a boy now.
Okay. Jay Kelly, the youngest child of superstar R. Kelly and VH1 Hollywood X's reality show star dancer Andrea Kelly, has just identified as a transgender boy on his Instagram account. Jay, who was born a female named Jaya or Jaya, has changed his Instagram profile description to reflect his name change to Jay, trans guy, ukulele. Okay. And use the social media platform to reveal his new identity. Jay says he has identified as a boy since the age of 6 or 7. I hated dresses. I liked girls. I didn't want breasts. I didn't want a taco area. Oh my God. I didn't want long hair. I'm a boy, he admitted on Instagram. When one of his Instagram followers asked why he didn't come out as a lesbian, the teen responded, because that's not who I am. Why do you want me to be a lesbian? Jay, who was 13, wow, eventually wants to do away with his breasts, which he refers to as his overgrown pectorals. Mm-hmm. Take the appropriate meds and undergo surgery in order to complete the sex reassignment process. According to In Touch Weekly, Jay says his father wasn't aware of his new identity as of 3 months ago. He says his mom, Andrea, is supporting him 200%. Ugh. My mom was like, baby, you know I love you. If you were bi, gay, lesbian, you name it, and I would still love you so much. She was very proud of me. I was like, thank you, mom, for accepting the fact that I am a transgender. Mm-hmm. I mean, wow. I don't want to, this is what I want to say, what I was going to say. I don't want to say that this is a punishment to R. Kelly or anything like that, but isn't this crazy that a guy who is kind of known for being a predator to young girls, even though he was never convicted of it, however he has settled out of court, now his daughter, I don't know what to, his son, it's now his son. Well, it's still a boy. It's still a girl. She still has a vagina. Look, I don't care if you're transgender. That doesn't necessarily.
Aw, don't do that.
I'm not doing anything. I'm not being mean. You still have a vagina. You're still a woman. You're still a female.
I don't know. I feel like it's just so tricky with whole transgender and not, identification thing.
Not for me. No. I mean, he may identify as transgender, but genetically, he is not. Not even genetically. Anatomically, he's not. Jay is not a male. Anatomically, you're not a male. So I'm still going to call Jay his daughter for now until she gets a penis. And then she can be a boy. But, and I'm not trying to be any disrespectful. She's a transgender boy. I'll give her that. I'm not going to say that it is. I'm not going to say that it's his son yet. That's his transgender child. There we go. I'll leave it at that. Yeah. His transgender child was a female and now is identifying as transgender. I don't know if there's irony in there somewhere. I can't pick it out yet, but I do find it a little strange that it does, that this happens to R. Kelly. Not that it's a punishment, because it's not. I'm not saying that. It's just somehow ironic to me.
Yeah. It is a little ironic, but I mean, good for him.
Listen, look at you. Good for good for the transgender boy.
I mean, I feel like it takes a lot of courage to come out. First of all, to come out in general, but now he's coming out as a transgender boy. So I think it's pretty cool.
Oh, I don't. Think it's,
huh?
I don't have thoughts like that about it, if it's cool or not.
I don't know. I mean, like, if it's something, I don't know, that you're in turmoil about and it's something that you identify with and you were, I don't know how to feel in regards to, like, how that feels, obviously.
You don't have to feel anything.
No, I guess I don't, but I still think it's pretty cool.
Okay. I don't think it's cool or uncool. I'm indifferent to it all. But kudos to you to Jay for having the courage to be able to come out and say something like that, because it is something very difficult, especially at such a young age. And, you know, kids can be so mean at that age. So to be
able, kids, adults can be mean.
Oh yeah, adults. Yeah, definitely.
Especially since a famous person's child.
Child, right, exactly.
I mean, so, if kids are mad about Blue Ivy and her hair,
ooh, her hair, and
they're creating petitions over it.
Child, they went to change.org for that hair, honey. Yeah, so this is something very courageous to be able to do, and more power to you. And I'm sure that Jay is much happier now that it's out, now that, you know, Jay can say, look, I identify as a transgender male. That's great. That's really awesome. And now, maybe Jay can join Chaz Bono's support group.
Right? I was trying to think of, like, if there were any other transgender famous kids besides Chaz Bono.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But here you go. Now they have another friend to be able to go and talk to. Maybe even ask for guidance, especially because this is, they're basically in the same position. Like, you know, used to be daughter of a famous, you know, singer.
True.
Yeah. So that's their same. I hope Chaz will, you know, reach out to Jay and give Jay some pointers, or, you know, just some support, more support, especially because they were in the same position before. And Chaz is a man now. Like, Chaz got the surgery, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good for you, Jay. Good for you, because I'm sure that was very, very difficult to come out and say. All right, well, moving on from the current events, which were a little weird today. Just a little peculiar. So our next we wanted to talk about something. Is what segment is this going to go into Today I Learned, or just?
I don't think it has to go into any segment.
Okay,
it's just something cool we found.
Yes,
segment cool we found.
This is something cool that we found. Actually, Ari found it and then sent it to me, and then I said we had to talk about it because it was so funny. So yeah. What is this? What did we find?
I was on Reddit, and I love Ask Reddit because they have so many questions that people ask, and a lot of them are really good. So this one question was, what's something you're pretty sure has only happened to you? And people are telling some of their stories, and some of these stories are pretty crazy.
Yeah.
About things that have only happened. Since we first looked at it, a lot of the stories that we originally saw have gotten pushed down, and
right,
some new stories have loaded to the top. But here's one that I remember. This guy said, I broke my clavicle in my sleep, just woke up and it was broken, made a makeshift sling out of a shirt, and drove myself to the ER. Apparently people were asking him if he has weak bones. I don't know. At the time it happened, I was a 20-year-old farmhand in incredible shape. I didn't drink or do drugs, and I was being fed 3 hearty home-cooked meals a day. And when I wasn't around the farm, I was hiking or rock climbing. And he said that, I guess he's just adding to his story, but he said that his bedroom at the time was aloft with a ladder. And when he woke up, the ladder was skewed and some laundry had been on the bedroom floor and on his, that was on the main floor. I don't know. But he drove himself to the ER after he broke his clavicle.
That's crazy. I'm sure that's something that has only happened to him. How do you wake up and have a broken damn clavicle?
No clue.
Wow. Okay. So here's another one. I got in an argument with multiple people on how street signs, quote unquote, worked. Were they holograms that you could only see at a certain angle, or did they turn on when you tripped a sensor? I called a whole bunch of people stupid right up until I got hauled to the eye doctor. I wear glasses now, and street signs have things printed on them. So yeah, I am the only person who thought that street signs turned on.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. What? Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That is crazy. Let's see what else do they have here.
Well, this one is so short, but it was funny. This guy goes, or this girl goes, my junior prom date and senior prom date are engaged to each other.
What?
Yeah, and then someone commented, your dancing was so bad, they had to console themselves.
Oh my God!
Experience that.
Oh, here's one. Here we go. Here are some of the stories that you were telling me about. On a roller coaster, as it was looping at high speed, a pigeon flew into my ex-girlfriend's forehead. The picture was taken about 3 seconds later, and it just had her looking totally fucking horrified that she'd just been headbutted, that she just headbutted a pigeon at 50 miles per hour. Oh my gosh.
I don't know what I would do if I was ever in that situation.
What?
I don't want a bird's beak to ram into my brain and kill me.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? At 50 miles per hour, that had to have hurt very, very much. And I'm surprised that, like, it didn't, like, bust a head open. Good God. Right. Oh, my gosh.
This one was cool. This guy goes, I went to get my hair cut last week only to be told I had just had my hair cut and then had the barber look at my hair and ask, how is it long already? I was generally confused until I looked at the back of the barbershop to see my identical twin brother come out of the bathroom. We had no idea we had the same barber. Cute.
That's cute. That is very cute. Okay, so here's one. Live in NYC. Finally saw a celebrity after just buying a plunger. I'm staring at DeCaps across an intersection, and he's never going to think twice about me until I raise my plunger at him and kind of waggle it around at him accusingly like some old crone. He gives me a what the fuck face and then cracks a smile. So basically, he waved, or she waved, their plunger at Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes.
How weird. Why would you do that?
I mean, imagine, like, you're so excited. And like,
you don't even realize that you have a stupid plunger in your hand. Oh, my God. Ooh, here's another one. Ate a banana, a bee flew out, and it stung me. I almost died from their allergic reaction to the banana. That's how I found out I'm extremely allergic to bananas and immune to bee venom.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
That is so crazy. Why would a bee be in a banana?
I don't know, man.
How did it get in there?
That sounds like some GMO nonsense.
It's a tracker jacker from Hunger Games. What the hell is it doing in the damn banana? In case you, well, you know what? I'm not going to ruin it because maybe you guys haven't read Hunger Games and want to know what a tracker jacker is. I'll let you find out in the book. I won't be a poor sport.
That's nice.
Yes. Or a spoiler. I won't do that. Yes. So should we move on to Today I Learned?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So Today I Learned. What did you learn today?
I learned, and this is from the LA Times, that married couples have more DNA in common than random pairs of people.
Gross.
So technically, all married couples are brothers and sisters.
Oh my God, this is disgusting.
Well, that's just my interpretation. Anywho, it says that white husbands and wives are more genetically similar to each other than they are to random individuals. Couples may grow to resemble each other, but a new study shows they have similar DNA when they wed. Scientists examined 1.7 million single nucleotide polymorphisms to determine the genetic similarity of spouses.
Wow.
Yeah. It says that in a paper published in the journal PNAS, not sure what it stands for, but if you want to Google it, go ahead.
Yeah, do that.
Later. it said it is well established that individuals are more similar to their spouses than other individuals on important traits such as education level. The genetic similarity or lack thereof between spouses is less well understood. And they studied almost 9,500 non-Hispanic white individuals in an ongoing health and retirement study, which was sponsored by the National Institute on Aging.
Mm.
They sampled 825 spousal pairs who were born between 1920 and 1970. 59% were born during the 1930s.
Oh, wow.
They also compared their nucleotide polymorphisms. And they said that while they did find that married couples were more genetically similar than randomly generated pairs of people in the same population, this similarity was just 1/3 the magnitude of educational similarity between spouses.
Hmm.
They also noted that their research was limited by the fact that it focused on opposite sex, non-Hispanic white couples within the United States, and they encouraged further research.
Okay. Weird.
That's your word of the day.
Yeah, it is, because this is weird. That is crazy. But you know what? It's probably just because of a little implicit egoism. Remember how, you know how people are always saying how, like, married couples start to look alike? Uh-huh. Well, now we know why.
Right.
They're genetically the same. They're freaking brother and sisters.
Sister wives. Wives.
People like people who look like them. So,
true.
And it's not, I'm sure, you know, little small changes in genetics will make you look like somebody else. And those little small changes will be seen in your spouse. And now it's confirmed. I wonder how much of a percentage it is.
Me too.
That they say.
That does not say. Yeah. Or it's not said in the article.
Yeah, that's, that would be interesting to know. Like, is it like, you know, 0.2% or something like that? Like, how much is that? That's actually, it's cool to know, but it's still weird. Well, today I learned.
Yes, what'd you learn, Dee Dee?
I learned the origin of the "What Would Jesus Do" slogan.
Ooh.
Yeah, what would Jesus do? Jesus will fix it. Fix it, Jesus.
WJD.
You remember those bracelets and everybody was wearing them? Oh my gosh.
Lord
Jesus. That's what you did. You had us all wearing those bracelets. Okay, so "What Would Jesus Do," which is often shortened to WWJD, is a slogan so famous that millions of objects have been emblazoned, with it. However, the person who came up with "What Would Jesus Do" never saw a penny of the millions of dollars companies across the globe made from it.
Mm.
Wow. The earliest known instance of the full slogan "What Would Jesus Do" dates all the way back to 1886 from a series of serial sermons by an American minister from Topeka, Kansas, by the name of Charles Sheldon. Each week, Sheldon would tell an entertaining story posing the question, "What would Jesus do?" when characters came across a difficult moral decision or situation. To increase attendance at his Sunday night sermons, Sheldon would end each story on a cliffhanger, ensuring the people there would come back the following week to learn what happened next. These sermons proved to be immensely popular. Spurred on by their popularity, Sheldon got them published in Congregationalist magazine, and they were soon put together in the book, "In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do?" As for the man, Sheldon was an advocate of Christian socialism, despising capitalism. Ironically enough, he was also a firm supporter of gender and racial equality, as well as an advocate for the humane treatment of animals, including being a vegetarian. Excuse me. This is not overly remarkable today, but in the late 19th century, was quite a radical stance on all four fronts. Besides being among the few white ministers of the day to not only allow but openly invite black people to become full members of his church, he also openly spoke out against the KKK to their faces and wasn't shy about slamming anti-Semites whenever he encountered them. He further encouraged women in his congregation to become involved in politics to help them in the fight for equal rights for women, including in the workplace. Again, he believed we were all equal in God's eyes. If this way of thinking was good enough for God, it should be good enough for everyone.
You know what? You right.
You right? Charles Sheldon. But he ain't getting not a nan penny.
I mean, that sucks.
That really sucks. Really sucks.
Jesus wouldn't be mad.
Really sucks. So they want to know, you want to know how it got to us in the 1990s, the WWJD bracelets and other products. Janie Tinkleberg read Sheldon's book in 1989 and had taken the message of "What Would Jesus Do" to heart. She decided to use it in her job as a youth leader at a church in Holland, Michigan, where she encouraged her students to keep it in mind as they went about their daily lives. As a way to make sure the kids didn't forget, Janie decided to emblazon this slogan. Emblazon, I like that better, on something wearable, settling on wristbands, since at the time, 1989, beaded friendship bracelets were popular. I figured a bracelet was perfect. They could wear it all the time, and it was even kind of cool. However, since the phrase "What Would Jesus Do" was kind of awkward to fit on a bracelet, she opted for the abbreviation WWJD, along with looking neater. This was also doubly ingenious, since it prompted others to ask, "What does WWJD mean?" thereby spreading the message a little further and giving opportunity for her students to evangelize. Little did Janie realize she'd accidentally stumbled onto a gold mine. And before long, the 300 bracelets she had made weren't enough, forcing her to order hundreds more. When the company making them less gold saw how popular they were, they quickly began churning out and selling millions of their own. Aw, man! Other companies, seeing that Let's Go were raking it in, followed suit. Before long, WWJD was everywhere.
This is some bull.
This is really awful. What would Jesus do here, Let's Go and the other companies that stole this?
I was going to say, not stole, that's for damn much.
Terrible. So that's where WWJD came from, guys.
Now we know.
Now we know.
And
I love it. That should be the song when we put it on. When we do it, I'm going to record Ari doing it, and we're going to do that every single time. I'm going to record her doing that, and I'm going to record her saying, sisters are doing it for themselves.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. So, what time is it now?
Let me turn on my TV because it's TV time.
Yes! So, what are we talking about? Yes! What are we talking about for TV time?
You should already know, y'all. Orange is the New Black came back.
Hello!
All we can talk about.
That's it. Okay? And if you haven't watched the full season, you need to just turn off the podcast right now for a good 10 minutes. Because
we're not going to be nice and not do spoilers?
Nope.
We talked about this before.
Yeah, we did. And I was thinking...
I think we did say we gave it like a weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about it. And I was like, we talked about how long. And if it's a show on Netflix, you get a weekend. And that's it. And you need to be ready.
That's it.
So, Orange is the New Black is back, excuse me. And we're so excited. It was such a good season.
I thought it was a good season, too.
Oh, my gosh. Every episode was better than the last. We definitely got some insights onto more of the characters. We got a little bit more background. We got more background on Morello. We got more background on the cancer patient whose name is Rosa. I found out this season.
Uh-huh.
We got more background info on Cindy, which is one of the black girls, the one with the Afro puffs.
Yes.
We got more background on Crazy Eyes.
Yes.
Oh, it was great. It was good.
There was a little there were some holes in the story, like we never saw homegirl. We haven't really seen any of them get arrested, but I'm still a little bit confused on what Cindy was arrested for. Was she arrested for fraud because she was a TSA agent and she was stealing? Did something happen with her sister? Like, what happened with that?
Yeah.
So there are some things that were a little bit off, but overall, I did enjoy the season.
Yeah, and so the new character for this season was Lorraine Toussaint, and she plays Yvonne V. Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Is that her name, Parker? Was that her last name? Okay, yes. And she was wreaking havoc in that female prison, honey.
She was an awful human being.
Awful. She brought evil to a whole nother level. And, you know, even though, like, I don't really like Piper, she would still do things that were okay. You know, like, even though I don't necessarily like the lesbian girl, the one who used to do crystal meth.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily care for her much, but sometimes she drops words of wisdom every now and then.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody has their things that they do every now and then. V was just awful the whole season. There was never one point when I was looking at this TV and she was on. I was like, oh, wow. She's really awesome. You know what? She's not so bad right now. No, she was bad all the time. All the damn time.
Yeah, no, no, re- redeeming qualities.
None at all. None at all. What did you think about the season?
I liked it. I just wished it was a little bit funnier. Like, okay. It was the first season. It was just so drama-filled, and it was just so crazy. There was, like, a lot of violence and a lot of twists and turns, but I did enjoy the season.
Okay. You know what? When you say that, you wish it was funnier. I honestly don't remember it I don't remember it being that funny last season.
I laughed more.
I don't remember that. Not for me.
For me, I thought Crazy Eyes was had a lot of comic relief.
Okay.
In the first season. So maybe that's where it was. And Tasty, too.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they said funny things. This season, definitely not as much.
Tasty got on my nerves.
Yeah, she definitely got on my nerves this season.
Like, I was so ready for her to leave. Like, I mean, where can she go? But, like, I wasn't feeling her.
Yeah, neither was I. Her blind loyalty to V was just really bothering me. It's like, girl, come on. Really? This lady is the devil reincarnate.
Which is very weird, considering she did say that she, like, hated her at one point. Right. Like, she said when she first got to the jail.
Right.
I don't understand how she was able to, like, backtrack so quickly and fall into the whole scheme of selling drugs and tobacco and all that stuff in jail.
And definitely there was a lot more sexy time in this season. Ugh, I wasn't here for that. I don't want to see all of that. No. Too much. And we got to see Pusey's story.
Yeah.
We don't know why she went to jail yet either for her.
I liked her story the least, though.
Me too. I definitely liked her story the least. But let's talk about Morello's story.
Oh my gosh, I loved her story. She's batshit crazy.
She is a fucking nuts, knucking futs. There we go. Like, when I saw the story, I was so shocked. I think out of all the emotions, if I experienced any emotions, my level of shockness was the most heightened when I was watching the TV show or the Netflix show and they were talking about Morello's story. All this time, we thought Christopher was her fiance.
Right.
And come to find out, she was just a crazy stalker lady.
They only went on one date.
And she's basically in jail for stalking him.
Yeah.
But not that she was just a stalker. She was also a thief.
Yeah.
She was committing mail fraud. Mm-hmm. Like, girl, you are really in the deep here.
It's so funny how, like, a lot of these characters, not only did they do, like, one thing, but they also did something else, too. Like, there wasn't just one crime.
Yeah, there was levels to their crimes that they committed.
Right, like, even in the first season, like, Miss Claudette, she was the head of a child labor operation, and then she killed someone.
Right.
You know what I mean? And this one, she did the mail fraud, and she was stalking.
Right.
Same thing with Black Cindy. She, I don't know about Black Cindy.
Yeah, we don't know if she committed two crimes.
Yeah, she committed two crimes.
From what we can see, she was just stealing from luggage because she was a TSA agent and she was stealing things out of people's luggage.
Yeah, and in that damn dummy, she gave her sister an iPad and forgot to delete the pictures.
What a dummy! What a dummy.
Oh, but and then we found out that her sister was her daughter.
Her daughter. Poor thing. Poor thing. So, Morello's story really, really blew me away.
Not only her story, though, but how about when she was able to, when she pretty much escaped, when she was supposed to be waiting at the hospital after she was driving the van, waiting for Rosa, and she went to his house.
Let's talk and broke
in his house.
Let's talk about this jail, first of all. This jail is so damn lax. How the fluff are people crawling in through sewers, bringing macaroni and cheese and Jolly Ranchers. And then this lady can leave the prison, I mean the hospital, and drive all the way upstate. I don't know how far away they are from where he lived, but here we go. Wouldn't you think that you're supposed to check the mileage when you get out of the van, and then when you come back in, it needs to be at that same amount of mileage?
They probably don't even think about that, but that's, I mean, yeah.
Of course they don't think about that, because look at all the shit that was going on at the jail. Oh my gosh. There was gum in the jail, makeup, all types of stuff. Jolly Ranchers, Doritos. I mean, and this is stuff that you can't buy in the commissary.
No.
This is outside stuff. Oatmeal pies. How is it getting in? This jail is way too lax. And then
it's boarding school.
People, yes. And then people are escaping. Like, seriously, obvious. I really do feel like it's more of a boarding school than it was prison. My God. Ugh. And I want to try the battery and the gum wrapper thing. I want to try it.
What was that?
The battery and the gum wrapper. That's how they were making lighters to light the cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. I'm scared.
I need to try that. I just don't want mine to blow up in my face.
Right. Hello.
Because it would be my luck that mine causes like a sonic boom or something like that. Like some major like explosion. But yes, this prison, like you guards are not doing anything. What are you doing? How is all this stuff happening? Who is the person that is checking the shipments before they come in? Y'all just blindly trust these criminals? They're in jail for a reason.
Yeah, they don't care.
Clearly not. And that's why people were able to escape that poor damn old lady. And luckily for Caputo, out of all the places for her to end up, she ended up at that damn bar. Caputo. That's the ward, the guy under the warden.
Oh, right. I just can't seem to remember his name when he
was playing and he invited the girl with the big eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looks up and who's at the bar? It was that crazy lady who was calling Piper Roberta.
Mm-mm-mm.
They are lucky that when she escaped, because Bennett was having sex with Daya and what's the other lady? The lady who I thought was a lesbian is dating that other CO. They were doing something and she just walked out of nowhere and just, you know, hey, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go walk to a bar.
How did you feel about Piper?
This season?
Yeah.
She was annoying me that first episode. A lot.
Yeah, me too, especially since it was all about her and I couldn't stand her the first season.
Yeah. I like the fact that the show is basically based on Piper, but I liked this season that she wasn't the main focus in every single episode.
Yeah.
I really like that. And I mean, I think she did stick up for herself when she needed to. She was a lot less whiny this season.
Yes, because she got used to it.
Yeah. But then we were introduced to a new whiny person, or I thought she was whiny, and that was So-So. She was a little bit whiny. Yeah. What'd you think about So-So?
Besides the fact that she was annoying?
Yes.
She was annoying.
I'm curious to know her story, and I guess we'll find that out in season 3. Yeah. Piper wasn't so bad this season. What about you? What did you think about her?
I mean, there wasn't much for us to, or much for me to dislike, because she wasn't in the show all that much.
Right.
I just do know a couple times, like, she still had her same selfish tendencies.
Definitely.
That I was like, oh, like when Red was in the hospital for getting hit with locks by V, and Natasha Lyonne's character is talking to her, and she still was focusing on herself while she saw that Natasha was upset.
Right.
So it's like, oh, Piper gonna be Piper.
Right.
But overall, it was like I didn't hate her as much.
Yeah. Definitely not. She definitely got better this season. And so, I don't know. People were done with this season by Saturday. The show came out at 3 a.m. on Friday. People were done watching it by Saturday. And I was just like, or by Sunday. And I was just like, did y'all bathe? Did you do anything this weekend?
Listen, all you need is 7 minutes to take a shower.
Like, did you do any chores? Did you go to church?
Nope, that could wait till Sunday.
What did you do? Did you have sex? Did you do anything?
Listen.
Sex only takes 7 minutes, too. Like, look, I got to get back to Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black, man.
I don't have time for this. You better get it and go.
Listen, you have priorities. This is the only thing on the to-do list.
Oh my God. No, seriously, this was the only thing on plenty of people's to-do list, because when people were like, oh my God, I need season 3 already, I was like, wait a minute, the show just came out yesterday.
Think of how many episodes we watched together.
We watched a lot.
We watched five episodes.
Five episodes. And
we started at like 4 o'clock.
Yes, we did.
In the
afternoon. We did.
So imagine if you got up at 9. That's like you couldn't really
watch it in one day. You could watch it from 9 to 9 and be done. Or 9 to 10. And you would have been done by 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically around the time where people were tweeting that they were done and needed season 3. And I said, wait. The show just came out. You can't be begging for season 3 already. You cannot do that. Just say you're excited to find out what's happening on season 3. You can't, because that's not how even regular TV works. And sometimes this is the only reason why I wish Netflix would pace us just a little bit. Maybe give us 2 episodes 1 week, another 2 episodes next week, another 2, I don't know, something. Tear it, because this show is so good, you don't want to stop watching it.
No, you really don't.
You never want to be just like, ah, let me take a break and I'll watch the other 6, you know, next week. No, no one's going to do that. No one's going to do that. You sit down and you're like, I'm just going to watch 1. You're going to sit there and watch 3. And then when you get to the 3rd one, you're like, you know what? I need to know what happens next episode. Then you're gonna be 12 episodes in.
Crazy.
It's such a good show. I really do love Jenji Kohan. And I said that the last time we talked about Orange is the New Black when it first came out and how excited I was about it. And I just really like the way she writes. Her team, if it's just her or, you know, or her team, they are amazing. They really know how to capture the audience, and just the characters are so good. Oh my God, Morello, the lady who plays Morello, when she was on the phone with her sister, when she found out that Christopher was getting married.
Oh my gosh.
That scene was so intense.
It was.
My God, that lady deserves all of the Emmys, because I really felt it. I really felt like she was crushed that he was getting married to another woman on the same day that she was supposed to get married to Christopher.
Supposedly supposed to get married.
Right, so fake married, because it was
like, how did you even pick that date, and how did you know that, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
What was so special about that date that your fake wedding date
is
the same date as their real wedding date?
Oh my God. She's a nut job. She's a nut job. My gosh. Yeah, the acting it's amazing. They're just so great.
Everyone on the show is a great actress. I miss Sophia, though.
Yes. You mean
Miss Claudette.
Claudette, yeah.
Granted, she wasn't on the show for other reasons, for health reasons, but I definitely missed her character.
Yeah, especially definitely.
Because the way her storyline ended was like so low.
Right, right.
Yeah, I enjoyed it overall, definitely.
Yeah. It's a good season. Good season.
I'm gonna watch it again.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I have to. Because I'm sure, cause that's what I told everybody else to do. The people who were begging for season 3 already, I was like, watch it again. I'm sure you missed something. I'm sure there was something that you missed. Go watch it again. And calm down. Like, relax. Yeah, so I'm. It was really good. Kudos to you, Jenji Kohan and Piper Kiernan. And we can't wait for season 3. We're not going to beg you for it yet. But
no. Season 3 was already set in motion before season 2 even premiered.
Right, right.
So that's crazy in itself.
We're excited.
Very excited.
So excited. But now we're going to move on to our next segment, which is I'll Have a Bite of That. And so even, you know, we were talking about Orange is the New Black, and we're still going to be talking about it. So... You know, you guys know New York is famous for their food trucks. And so Netflix, to, you know, I don't know, engage us and to give us more excitement about Orange is the New Black, they got a food truck.
Yeah.
And it's called Crazy Pies. And so it's a play on, you know, Crazy Eyes, the character Suzanne Crazy Eyes, whatever her last name is. Warren, that's her last name. And so basically, it says that we can take a break from binge watching. Yeah, right. We already watched the whole season.
Right. Over, y'all late.
Right, y'all are way late. And Netflix, and then you can go and binge eat some free pies and ice cream. Free pies and ice cream. The Crazy Pies food truck, inspired by Orange is the New Black character Susan Crazy Eyes Warren, we'll be giving out free pie and chocolate and vanilla swirled ice cream. Chocolate and vanilla. Swirl, swirl. So they're going to be
killing it.
And that's to celebrate the second season of Orange is the New Black. The truck's journey in the U.S. will start this Thursday in New York City.
Ow.
Yeah. The food truck is full of winking references for Orange is the New Black fans, built on the concept of Suzanne's most famous line, "I threw my pie for you."
She wasn't playing.
She really wasn't playing. Netflix has already debuted a Crazy Pies truck in Mexico City and plans to hit additional cities throughout June. The sweeping popularity of Orange is the New Black helped prove that Netflix had the potential to completely change the television game with marketing like Crazy Pies food truck and an Orange is the New Black cookbook. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
The streaming service is clearly also ready to think outside of the box in terms of PR. How cute.
Orange is the New Black is killing it.
They really are.
Advertisement. They have an app.
Yeah.
They're coming out with the cookbook. They have a food truck. Their Twitter is popping. Their Instagram is popping. All of the characters' social media game is popping.
Yeah.
Like, what more do you... They made their own emoji. Like, what more do you want?
What more do you want? What more do you want? They had a crazy eyes emoji.
Yeah.
With the Bantu knots.
With the Bantu knots. Bruh.
I love it. I love it.
The pies.
I can't. Yeah, I can't wait for the pies.
Swirl.
Girl, swirl. What kind of pies are they going to have? Is it just going to be blueberry pie? I don't like blueberries.
I feel like they're probably going to have a different pie each day.
Okay.
But I'm making it up, but I hope so.
Okay. So the places where the truck is going to be in New York, guys, for you guys that are in New York, Thursday, June 12th, between 4 and 8 p.m., it's going to be at Broome Street at West Broadway. On Friday, June 13th, it's from 4 to 8 p.m., it'll be between 22nd and 23rd Street near Madison Square Park. On Saturday, June 14th, it'll be out 2 to 6 p.m., Williamsburg, Brooklyn at North 7th Street. And on Sunday, June 15th, 1 to 5 p.m., it's going to be at the west side of Central Park near Columbus Circle. Yummy.
There you go.
I'm excited. I can't wait to have ice cream and pie. I really can't. I'm going to go tomorrow. So excited.
I'm here for it.
Yes. So, Is it cocktail time?
Yeah, man.
Ooh, what is the cocktail of the week?
So, we have orange is a new drink.
Yeah!
So, for this, you're going to need 2 ounces of blood orange juice, 1.5 ounces of tequila, juice from 1 wedge of lime, and 3 ounces of the strongest ginger beer you can get your hands on.
And you're going to need some ice.
That too. Yes. Yeah. So in a shaker, combine the cup of ice with the orange juice, the tequila, and the lime juice. Shake it in the shaker and then pour into a glass and top it off with your ginger beer. Make sure it's cold ginger beer.
Yes, cold ginger beer.
And that's orange is the new drink.
There you go. And it's blood orange.
Blood orange.
Ooh, because there was a lot of bloodshed this season, honey.
There sure was.
Whoa, there was so much going on.
Oh,
my gosh. Well, is that our show?
I think that's the end of our show.
Oh, my gosh, that's it.
Oh.
Wow. We're so happy to be back.
Definitely.
Yes, and we hope that you guys are super excited for us to be back. So, Ari, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ariel Shree. What about you, Dee Dee?
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram as well, Lucky Stars, LuckieStarz. You can find us, the show, on Twitter, Catnaps, the letter N, Cognac. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/catnapsandcognac. You can visit the website, catnapsandcognac.podbean.com. We're also on iTunes. Just search Catnaps and Cognac. We're on the Spreaker Network, so just search us there, Catnaps and Cognac. So please don't forget to like our page. And rate us on iTunes, please, and send us your comments. We also would love for you guys to email us because we love when you guys send us emails and just tell us how much you love us. And also for our segments, the Grinds Our Gears. We've got a couple of good Grinds Our Gears lately, and we can't wait for the next time we do the segment so we can read them off. And you can email us at catnaps.andcognac@gmail.com to send your gripes and also to gripes about things other than us, because we're great, so there's nothing to gripe about. So just send your gripes for our Grinds Our Gears segment. And you can also, you know, make some suggestions if you have something that you want us to talk about. Oh, yeah, and also the Ask Ari and Deeds segment, where we answer questions. Please email us for that, because we would love to help you guys and give you guys advice. That would be great. That would be awesome. So don't forget to do that. Send us an email.
Yes, please.
Please. Okay, well, I think that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, well, bye.
Yeah. The animals, trap, 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 till the cages fall. The cages fall, the day is new. And everyone is waiting, waiting on you. And you've got time. Think of all the roads, think of all their crossings. Taking steps is easy, standing still is hard. Remember all their faces, remember all their voices. Everything is different the second time around.